You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Why? Because you can't see God's plan. Now, Paul says in Philippians 3, verse 20, for our conversation, the King James uses the word conversation, and that's the word citizenship. And he says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for a Savior. So as children of God, we don't look to Washington. Amen. We don't look to Harrisburg, and we don't look to City Hall. Now, we do have rights that we should expect and maybe even have to advocate for. However, we don't look to them. You with me? You with me? There are a whole lot of things that work together. And God says they work together for your good. Why? Because you're a disciple. You're a learner. So since we've defined disciple as a learner or a pupil, one must now ask, what are we learners of? What is he trying to teach us? Now, you've heard this phrase over and over and over again, but the truth is he's teaching us principles of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And we have yet to learn them. We have yet to master the principles of the kingdom of heaven as we have mastered the principles here. We have mastered these principles to the point where they influence our reactions to people. And we'll justify said reactions by saying to the person, well, I'm treating you this way because he treated me that way. So what you're going to have to do is just accept me for the miserable person that I am because he did what he did to me. But the kingdom of heaven in Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. And we discussed a few weeks ago that the verb forgiving is in the middle voice. It means that I'm forgiving you, but I'm not forgiving you for you. I'm forgiving you for me. Why? Forgiving you makes me a better me. Forgiving you makes me a better me. It means that the love of God, which is the primary motivator for everything good, will flow unhindered if I have forgiven you. Because there's no blockage. Why? That's a principle of the kingdom that disciples must master. We cannot respond to people as they respond to us. We cannot treat people as they treat us. We cannot respond negatively, even to negative behavior. Why? When Jesus says, turn the other cheek, he's not speaking just physically per se, although it may come to that in certain instances, but he's speaking emotionally, psychologically, and internally. In other words, if someone wrongs you, you don't walk around looking to pay them back. You never accuse, you never find fault, you never criticize. As Michelle Obama says, you take the high road. You never allow people to pull you down into the mud with them. You maintain joy, you maintain peace, you maintain love, you maintain long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness. You never cause yourself to go face-to-face or toe-to-toe with anybody because you're a disciple of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why? My citizenship is in heaven. I'm a heaven dweller. I act differently. There are people who live in what we call the hood, the inner city of any major metropolis has a hood. And there are certain behaviors that go with hood. Number one, what's number one?
dress. Can always tell a hood rat from how they dress. Hood rats wear suede Timberlands in August. Nobody else in their right mind is wearing suede boots in the middle of August. It's 275 degrees outside, but hood rats have on suede Timberlands, and then they have them unlaced. So God forbid somebody chases them, they'll run right out of those shoes. The second sign is they wear their trousers all the way down to their behinds. Their britches are so low that if a good wind came out of the east, it'd pull them right down. They don't mind showing you their underwear. They don't mind doing all that because that's part of the hood look. Third, there is a certain degree of them wearing shirts that are three sizes too big. And that's for a myriad of reasons. One, it's stylish for them. And number two, it hides weapons. And so you can't always tell if they're strapped or not because they got on a shirt that's 5XL. And so you don't really know, but there are certain things that go with the hood. Number four, the thing that distinguishes them is the speech. What's shaking? What's up? What it is? For real, for real. All that foolish talk that they talk about. You know, how you doing? I'm hungry, but I ain't hungry. What the heck is that? I remember hungry, but it had hippos behind it. It was a game played with marbles. Ah, what are you doing? Hungry hippos. I don't understand the vernacular of the hood. When you go outside the hood, you can't say things like, hello, how are you? How are you feeling? Oh, I'm fine, thank you, how are you? No, it's what's up. It's not even what is up, it's what's up. Everything about the hood lets you know that that's where you're from, and they are proud of it. Proud of it. I got to be real. God, keep it real, blood, keep it real. But people that are kingdom dwellers, we don't know the language of the kingdom. We don't know how to dress the dress of the kingdom. You say, wait a minute, preacher, are you talking about what I'm wearing to church? Yes and no. No, I'm not talking about this. I'm talking about Ephesians chapter 6, that you put on the whole armor of God. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the loincloth of truth, and pick up the shield of faith. Grab hold of the sword of the Spirit and arm yourself for the inevitable battle, because the enemy is going to come to try to shake your tree and tell you that God is not with you. But you've got to put on that armor. Put it on. The speech of those from the kingdom is different from those that are from the hood. The hood says, how you doing, child? Listen, I'll make it. I'm hanging in there. No. Kingdom people don't hang anywhere. Kingdom people are standing. Even when their bodies are racked with pain, they're standing. Even if they don't have a dime in their pocket, they are blessed, prosperous, and successful because they've learned that God has made every situation fertile soil, and he's waiting for you to plant a seed. Whatever you're in is just soil. You got to plant a seed. People ask me all the time, they can't get past, I'm okay. That's as much as I'm telling you. I'm not telling you anything else. I can be in Tylenol, extra strength, 1,000 milligrams pain, but you ain't gonna know it. The reason I don't tell you is because you can't help me. People will say, Pastor, why don't you let somebody know? Why? You didn't go to the cross. You didn't take stripes on your back. I ain't telling you anything, because if I tell you and it don't work, you're going to start criticizing me. But when I go to Jesus and I say, you said you are my healer, you said you are my deliverer, and this light affliction, which is but for a moment, I may be down for a little while, but it ain't going to last always. And when I come out of it, I used to tell my daughter when she was young and in elementary school, there was my daughter was kind of an introvert like her daddy, and she just, you know, she was kind of, you know, like introverted. She just stayed to herself. She wasn't very outgoing and very, you know, combative. And sometimes people would hurt her feelings. And I would say to her, don't ever cry out in the street. Cry at home. I told her that because my father told me that. Don't you ever let people see you cry, because those people will turn around and grind you down into the dirt with it. I said, but when you get home, let it out. Let it out when you're home, because see, you're home with daddy. You're going to get all the strength and help you need. Are you following me? Don't be complaining downwards. Complain upwards. It said, cast your cares upon the Lord. He didn't say cast them on a pastor or cast them on a deacon. He said, cast your cares on the Lord. That's the attitude of kingdom people. Kingdom people. So people come up to you and say, how you making out? I'm fine. Heard you had death in your family, but they're with the Lord. Is there anything I can do? No. Leave me alone. What you gonna do for me? Well, everybody needs somebody. I got Jesus. Nah. Get that hood mentality out of you. Get that kingdom life in you. You see, I'm going to be very blunt with you. Part of our problem is our socialization, because as a race of people, we were not trained to be victorious. We were trained to be losers and defeated. Everything in our world was negative. It was so bad we even speak negatively about our own people. Yeah, I hired a plumber. He was one of us, but you know us. He ain't going to be on time. He ain't going to get the job done. We hate our own people. And we'll glorify any other ethnicity. Yeah, I got a plumber. He's from another place. But he was always good. He was always on time. And so we hate ourselves so much. How are we going to love anybody else? And how are you going to walk upright before God? And how are you going to be a disciple until you get past the self-hatred? How are you going to love me until you love you? I know people did damage to you when you were young, but I've got a news flash. You aren't young anymore. You made it this far. Now keep going and make it all the way. You want to be a disciple? You think you do. I'm giving you all this now. Let me give you three quick points. Number one, discipleship is intentional. You don't stumble into discipleship. The word of the Lord tells us in the book of Luke that the disciples said to Jesus, they said, Rabbi, where are you sleeping? He said, come and see. And they followed him. Then he says he saw Nathanael under a tree. And he walked up and said, follow me. And he got up and followed him. And Matthew was sitting at the table collecting taxes. And Jesus walked up and said, follow me. All right, what do these three things have in common? That none of them knew where they were going. None of them knew where they would sleep the night. They followed Jesus. True disciples follow Jesus without worrying about what's happening next. Because if you follow him and he accepts you, hallelujah, he is now responsible for you. Woo! This is the truth that Paul was trying to give in Ephesians, where he said, husband, love your wife. And he said, wife, submit to your husband. Now, I'm going to make some of you really mad because you're like real, you know, modern women who don't need nobody. Okay, but listen to this, because I'm just going to give you Bible. When a woman is safely connected with a man and the man loves her and covers her, then that woman doesn't have to worry about what's happening because she knows his love is covering her and he will take her in good places. Are you with me? So because those disciples were connected to Jesus, they didn't have to worry about where they were sleeping. They knew that if he was going to take care of himself, he was going to take care of them. And that's how we should feel about God. That's why he said, don't worry about clothes. Don't worry about food. You ought to know that if I'm taking care of birds and fish, I'm going to take care of you. So you ought to praise me in every situation and watch me work it out. It's intentional. It doesn't mean that you make a mistake. You want to follow Jesus. You want to follow him. You haven't sought and thought it out yet. You haven't sat and thought it out yet. You haven't given it much mental consent. But you know there's something about him. There's something coming off of him.
there's an aura that comes off of Jesus that says everything gonna be all right. Yeah, there's something that comes off Jesus that says no matter what you go through, I'll be right there with you. There's something that comes off of Jesus that says weeping may endure for the night, but I got a morning coming. There's something that comes off of Jesus that says, listen, 1,000 will fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come near me. There's something that he hadn't even said a word yet, but there's something that comes off of it. It's intentional. I ain't following him because somebody forced me. I'm following him. That's why he said, come see. Woo! Woo! Anybody in here will go with anybody and say, come see? They say, come on, I'll take you home. You say, where's your car? Come see. You Shucks. You will put me in some stolen car? No. Tell me, can you tell me what time it is? Come see. I got a watch for you. No, but there was something about Jesus that made them follow him. There is a charisma that comes off of Jesus. There's a sense that when he's involved, everything's going to be all right. Lord, help me. If you go over to Mark's gospel in chapter 9 of Mark's gospel, or not 9, I don't even know, 5, 4, wherever it is. It's over there somewhere. But there's this passage in it that talks about a woman that has an issue of blood, and she's bleeding for how long? 12 years. Just want to see if you study. And so she's bleeding. Now, all the Old Testament teachings say that she can't come in contact with her family because she's unclean. If she's married, she can't sleep in the bed with her husband because she's unclean. She can't go to family gatherings. She can't go to the temple and stand in the area that women stood in. She is basically ostracized and treated like a leper. But something happened. The Bible said she had heard of Jesus. Now, I know had heard is kind of a colloquialism that we use, but in Greek grammar, it means that her hearing prompted something in her. She heard about Jesus. Something clicked and said, if you connect with that man, something's going to happen to you. If you can just get to where he is, something's going to change for you. I would hazard a guess that many of you in here right now, while you may not be physically hemorrhaging, you are spiritually hemorrhaging. You haven't had joy in a month of Sundays. You haven't had peace in a half a year. Your spiritual situation is in decay. But if you had heard of Jesus and you make your way to him, because the Bible said she had purpose in her heart, if I can just touch but his clothes, I know this situation's going to change. Disciples understand that he might not touch me. I might not feel him. I might not hear from him. But he knows the way I take, and I'm never out of his sight. Discipleship is intentional. You got to follow him because you want to. You got to follow him because he has what you need. Oh! Woo! It's all right to follow him because he has what you need. He's the only man that has what you need. When the woman seated at the well ran back into town, she said, come see a man who told me everything I've ever done. Is not this the Christ? It's intentional. I want to be here. I want to be in church. I want to be here every time the door opens. I want to be in prayer. I want to be in fasting. I want to be in Bible reading. I want to be here. Number two, discipleship is individualized. Now, this is going to shock some of you. It's not that God has different rules. It's that he has different applications. There are some things that I cannot get away with because I'm the pastor. And if I were to do those things, it would shipwreck the faith of many people. And so, even though it may not be a damnable sin, it would not be good for me to do it because too many people would fall because of it. But then God will allow you to do it because you are in a different place. It's almost as if God is saying, I have... And I, is it IEP? IEP?
God says, I have an IEP for every believer. It's individualized. I don't deal with everybody the same way. Watch. That's why some of you have been told not to wear any lipstick. And others come in with lipstick all over. And they're not going to hell. Some of you, God says, don't dye your hair. He will tell you, leave it that way. And others, he will let you change it so much you've forgotten what the original color was. And the person that's forbidden will look over at the other person and become angry because they can't do it. Now listen carefully. Because there's no scripture forbidding it, it's individualized. If he had a scripture, then no one could do it. But because there's no scripture that says you can't dye it, fry it, roll it, blow it, weave it, cleave it, there's no scripture forbidding it, he leaves it up to you. But some people, he won't let do it. Come on, let's put the rubber where it meets the road. Some of you listen to music that ain't Christian. Some of you listen to hip-hop, rock. Some of you listen to stuff that if a Christian got in the car, you'd reach over and turn it off right away. Now, why do you turn it off? You let Jesus listen to it. Why can't the person getting in your car? I have never turned my radio off when somebody gets in my car. I might have to turn it down. Because I learned a long time ago that if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for you. Amen.
We pray that you were blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title,
The Keys of Discipleship,
or the program number,
1218P.
If you'd like to view the Climbing Higher daily telecast, tune in to WBPH-TV on Comcast Cable, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Please check your local cable listings for the channel number in your region. To stream Bethel Sunday services live, visit BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app on iTunes or Google Play. We stream live on Sundays beginning at 8:15 a.m. and 12 p.m. You're also invited to join us in person by attending any of our Sunday services taking place at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m. at our main sanctuary located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, PA. For more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
The Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. is part of the media outreach ministry of Bethel Deliverance International Church. Our goal is to reach the world with powerful messages of faith, truth, and victory taught from the Word of God. You can take part in this significant mission by becoming a media partner. Your weekly, monthly, or one-time gift goes directly towards reaching the masses with life-changing messages of hope from God's Word. We invite you to visit the BethelDeliverance.org media link for more information about the media partnership. You may also contact the media outreach representative at 215-885-2585 to make a donation. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. We appreciate your support.